Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the star.
Good evening and welcome to Strategic Breakthrough Radio here with Elliot Kay. I'm here twice a month, that's every 2 weeks, and I bring you the best, the greatest, the innovators, the strategists, the people that are out there making a change and impacting people's lives. Here at Strategic Breakthrough Radio, we're all about the strategies to creating long-lasting change. My name's Elliot Kay, and what I do is I work with business owners, coaches, speakers, trainers, and I work with them to build sustainable businesses that allow them to support their lifestyle. And today I'm particularly excited because the guest we have on, he's going to bring strategy in a different capacity. And he's got a very, very interesting story. So I'm going to say this up front. If you want to call in, put this number down because you might have to ask him a question. So unfortunately, you can only call in if you're in North America. So the guest call-in number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And what we are talking about today is something that's been around for years. It's still around. And unfortunately, the sad reality is it'll probably still be around in years to come. But the good news is there are lightsabers out there. There's warriors. There's Jedi Knights. There's people out there who want to fight what this whole program is about, what this whole episode is about. And we're going to talk about addictions today. We're going to talk about addictions because it's a very, very real and it's unfortunately always a now topic. Having worked in the industry of coaching and now strategy, having worked with business owners, having in the past been a professional dancer, which not many people know about, I've seen addictions firsthand. I grew up with a father who's an alcoholic. He's a recovering alcoholic. He also used drugs at times. So I know firsthand how important what this young man has to do and the mission he's put himself on for the next 100 years of his life, because he's going to live a very long life. So Chris Hill, who's with us, he is going to tell his own story, but this is why you need to stay tuned in. So Chris lost his twin brother, to alcohol and drugs. And now it's his life's passion to educate others on beating addiction. And this is why I am so interested in this, because to beat addiction, there's got to be a strategy. And to get long-term sustainable results, you've got to have a good, solid strategy. So while today isn't quite around business, this is still all about strategy. And I have the pleasure of working with this young man, and he's just a delight to work for. You know, he's one of those people that you tell him, he does. He's a dream client. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chris Hill. How are you, buddy?
Wow. Thank you so much, Elliot. Yeah, I'm doing really, really well. Thank you. Really good.
And thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on the show.
No, it's my pleasure. When I heard your mission, your passion, I was like, I need to get this man speaking. And, you know, I know also that you're running a group tonight. You're actually running an addiction support group tonight, and you've
helped
out to come and speak to me. So thank you very much for that. Do you want to tell our listeners? So we've got listeners in the UK, we've got listeners in Australia and in the USA. Do you want to just tell us a little bit of how did you end up in the addiction world? What was your kind of, were you a typical kind of picked up your first cigarette at 12? How did it happen for you?
I wish it was at 12. unfortunately, it was at 7 years old I picked up my first cigarette.
Wow,
7. Yeah, 7 years old, I'm afraid. But yeah, times were a lot different then. You know, I grew up in like the late 70s. And as youngsters, we had a lot of freedom then. We was a lot safer as kids. I mean, my parents, they came out of the 60s with all like the free love and everything. So, and especially on the back of World War II and stuff, they just wanted for us what they probably never had when they was youngsters. So So we were given a lot of freedom. So we used to play in local woods and parks, and but of course, when you've got that freedom, you're open to other things. And of course, there was older children smoking, and of course, one of them said, "Do you want to try it?" And you know, one lug of a cigarette. Of course, we allow nicotine into our body, which is a highly addictive drug. And of course, you know, as youngsters, you don't know about this thing. But that was really the beginning of my addiction cycle, if you like. And of course, you know, a few years later came alcohol, and then through school years, and that became marijuana and other drugs. So that was sort of the beginning, really. So, I mean, I never had a bad upbringing. In fact, it was a good upbringing, really. You know, middle-class family. We didn't really want for anything. But, of course, we were just open to these addictive substances. And, of course, as a youngster, you want to be part of it, don't you? You want to be older than you are. You want to be like the adults that you've got around you. But, of course, we didn't realise about the addictive side to it.
So was there a little bit of that typical stereotype of being cool, being seen to do what's in, like, hey, it's cool to smoke, it's cool to drink, it's cool to do marijuana. Did that play a, you know, did that play a big part?
Of course. And there's a sort of peer pressure, especially around when you're around other children and other friends, and you don't want to look weak. You know, especially growing up through school, I mean, you had to be tough. You know, school was tough, isn't it? It's you know, there's a big, you know, 40 or 50 kids in the class, and you've got to toughen up. And of course, if you toughen up, well, then if other children are smoking and drinking, then of course you've really not got a choice. Well, not what we thought we did, and of course you just go with the flow, but. It brings a lot of bad, I'm afraid. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, I don't think, you know, many stories around addiction is very much what you said. And, you know, and I think what's interesting is, I know, for example, in my father's, you know, he did it as an escapism, you know, he drank to get away. And what's really interesting, like you said, I didn't have a bad upbringing. I just did what I thought was the thing to do. And, you know, I think that's a massive, massive component to leading to addiction, not necessarily always with hard drugs, because, you know, like you say, it can start with cigarettes, it can be alcohol, but equally, it's things like, what other addictions would you say people have to, that they might not consider? I mean, porn, I guess, is a big part of that these days. There's a huge, you know, we heard about Pamela Anderson wanting to fight the porn industry, because more and more men are addicted to running into the bathroom rather than spending time with their wives. You know, and I think it's that non-educational piece. But, you know, I'm sure there was a time where you knew what you were doing wasn't a good thing, but you kept on doing it. Would you say that's right?
100%, that is correct. I mean... growing up, going through school, even like leaving school for the first few years, you know, everything was good. We was enjoying ourselves. You know, we thought we were doing, you know, whatever we wanted. But when you get into your sort of late 20s and you think, right, now I need to buy a house, I need to settle down and something, all of a sudden you realise that those addictions you've got are what they say they are. They're addictions, which mean you can't actually stop. And of course you go on and try all these different things and methods, but of course, I mean, I tried everything. I was trying nicotine patches, I was trying pills and potions from the doctor, I was trying hypnosis, I was reading books. I literally tried everything, but nothing was working. And of course, then you're stuck. So, and again, not to really lose face, you just have to justify why you do the things you do, and unfortunately this story is very much like most people, because we all think, right, when I'm 30 I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to have a family. But of course, when reality kicks in and you don't understand what addiction is, okay, that's when the problems start. And also, when people do get to that age, you know, 30, 40 years old, people start to realise that life just isn't turning out the way that we thought it was going to. You know, when we're youngsters, we're going to have these great jobs, these beautiful cars, beautiful home. But of course, life, you know, the reality of life just isn't the same. So, and of course, that can bring on depression, anxiety, stress. And when you're getting those emotions and stuff, well, of course, that's when we turn to alcohol and drugs and cigarettes. And we get that escapism, just like what you spoke about, like with your father. People, you do get that escapism, but of course, you can't stay drunk. You can't stay high on drugs. At some point, you've got to come off them, and then reality kicks back in again, and you're in a worse position than what you were. So.
And also, just to be clear, you know, I think there's this perception that addiction means you're waking up drinking 3 bottles of vodka a day, or, you know, actually an addiction can be 2 to 3 glasses of wine a day. It could be a small amount, but it's dependency that makes you an addict, not the amount. Is that right?
100%. I mean, it's even, I would say it's even worse than that, because what you need to understand with an addictive drug, and that could be anything from refined sugar, it could be caffeine, it could be nicotine, it can be alcohol. I mean, they're the legal drugs, but then, of course, you go on to cocaine, crack cocaine, heroin. And believe me, there's people that are holding down jobs now that are using heroin and cocaine on a social basis. So, and you just would not know. But the actual point I'm trying to make is one, if I just use smoking as an example, just one lug of a cigarette, okay, you have already become an addict. Now, people's perception of addiction is it takes many years to become an addict. Well, that perception isn't true. But the actual truth of the matter is, as soon as you take one lug of a cigarette, you've created an additional hunger inside your body, okay? That hunger sends a message to the brain, okay, and the brain starts to perpetuate that thought and tells you to go and get some more cigarettes. Now, it takes a few years. You know, me smoking my first cigarette at 7 didn't mean I was a 40-a-day smoker at 7. It took many years for my mind and my body to get used to the poison, to me poisoning my body, until I became so used to it that I could smoke more and more and more. But the actual addiction started from the very first, smoking that very first cigarette. And this is the misperception that people have got, okay? Addiction starts from the very first one, okay? It just takes time for the mind and body to get used to the poison, but the want and the need is created from that very first moment.
So is that the same with sweets and sugar and things like
that? Refined sugar. I mean, we could talk all night about refined sugar, but refined sugar is a massive, massive problem. My second book will probably be around refined sugar.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason for it is sugar is actually 8 times more addictive than cocaine. And
it's just a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, the only thing with refined sugar, it doesn't have a personality change in somebody, but the actual physical addiction, that's from the mind and the body, are exactly the same as somebody suffering with heroin addiction. But because
in terms of withdrawal, like when they stop.
Withdrawal.
Yeah.
But because it's so freely available, most people are not suffering so much because we induce so much of it on a daily basis.
Right. And also it's in so many things. And I do think, actually, that it does have a personality effect, because if you look at it, especially amongst younger children, if they don't get their sugar fix, they are seriously moody. But it's not just children, it's us adults, but except I guess we reframe it, we call it comfort eating, you know? But what we're actually doing is we're dependent on a sugar like chocolate or something to change our mood. Now there's many layers to comfort eating. You and I know that. That's probably your third book. But I do feel you're right that sugar's probably the most dangerous drug out there. It's the most available drug out there. And it wouldn't surprise me, because I gave up sugar a few years ago, and I think it must have been a month that I was the moodiest person in the world. I mean, I didn't put one to one together, but I also remember the headaches and even the throwing up. Now, I don't know what it's like to give up crack cocaine or anything like that, but if it's anything like that, it's pretty horrific. And it really does. Look, here and there now, I still have a little bit of sugar. Maybe you say, hey, you're an addict. But I do know I'm a better person when I have a little bit of sugar every now and then than when I had no sugar. Isn't that strange? So I guess that, in a way, makes me slightly addicted. Can you be slightly addicted? I don't know. You're probably thinking of my whole sugariness going. Can you be slightly addicted?
Sugar is a very complicated subject. Just because around 80% of everything that we eat contains some sort of refined sugar, because refined sugar is hidden in most of our food, especially processed food and stuff. I mean, it has something like 50 different names for refined sugar, so that's why most people don't realise that they've got such an intake of it. If you was wanting to get rid of sugar, okay, there's really only two ways that you can do it. One is a part get rid of it, and that means what you basically do is you take off all your non-essential sugars. So basically that means chocolate crisps, biscuits, cake, puddings, ice cream, sweets, everything that's really, really nice. So,
yeah.
But they're non-essential food. So, and you would go through what we call a mindset thing, okay? So basically, when you get rid of an addiction, okay, we need to open up dialogue with our subconscious mind.
Right.
And your viewers might understand that as unconscious mind or just mind, okay? But your mind is working independently to who we are consciously. So an addiction sits within, like, your inner self. And your inner self, like your heart rate, your body temperature, is all being run by your subconscious mind, because we don't control our heart rate, we don't control our digestive system. You know, in real terms, we don't even control our breathing. It's all being done for us, but behind the scenes. And the same goes for addiction. When you take something that's addictive, it connects to those survival mechanisms, and that's how you become addicted. So, but the route to change that is we have to go to this subconscious mind. We have to open up dialogue with the subconscious mind. And you might be thinking, well, how do I do that? But in truth, we're all talking to our mind, all talking to our subconscious mind all of the time, but we do it in an indirect way. And what that means is we don't realize we've got that conversation going. But the stuff that I teach in my book and everything is that we need to open up a direct conversation. So when your mind and body are sending you thoughts, feelings and emotions saying that you want that sugary food, okay, you have got the ability, you consciously have got the ability to say, look, thank you for those thoughts or feelings, but, you know, I'm getting rid of these foods for my pleasure list. I'm taking these ones off because I don't want that craving anymore. And when you go through a process like that, that actually means that you can still have sugar in certain foods, but not be craving it. Because it's all those foods that I just said about, chocolate crisps, biscuit, cake, pudding, ice cream, sweets. It's those that are the highly addictive foods. Those are the massive cravings. That's why, you know, people just die for them, don't they? As soon as you see a sweet box open or the ice cream van pulls up, it's you know, that empty, insecure feeling. It's that body rush that's saying, you know, we need that sugar fix. Because as soon as you take sugar, you 100% you get endorphins go off in your brain. You get that pleasure immediately. It's like a hit, isn't it? It's just, you know, somebody that does cocaine, as soon as they snort cocaine, they get a hit. Well, it's exactly the same for sugar, and it's exactly the same endorphins that go off in the brain. I mean, scientists have proved it. They've got under X-ray two people measuring their brains, one using cocaine and the other's using refined sugar. And the one that's using refined sugar is reacting eight times faster than the cocaine.
Wow.
It's just You know, so it's a very, very powerful drug. Okay, and the other problem with it is the cause of, say, diabetes, our weight problems, health problems. Okay, it's a real massive problem, and there are some big names. We've got over here, we've got the Jamie Oliver Foundation that's trying to fight the sugar epidemic. I mean, I know in the States you've had some brilliant films coming out about it, but again, we've got to keep shouting, we've got to keep talking about it, we've got to keep raising awareness, and you know, and the more, the bigger the voice gets, the more we can start to change. So, and I'm just going to be one of those voices now, and fighting for that corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if any of you want to dial in, please feel free. You know, it's going to be in North America, I'm afraid. Or you can tweet me, Elliot K. PTS, as Empowered to Succeed. A question for Chris, or you can just dial in at 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. If you have any questions about addictions, about the subconscious mind, about what it takes to truly overcome addiction. And here, already, Chris is starting very cleverly to unravel some of his strategies. But let's rewind a bit. So we all have everyone has a dark day. Everyone has a wake-up call. What was yours, Chris? Do you want to tell us about that day? Everyone has that day. Do you want to tell us about that day?
Unfortunately, yeah. To be honest, I've had a few dark days. I mean, I was addicted to drugs for over 20 years. As you know, my addiction started when I was 7 years old. Some 20 years later, I was actually using crack cocaine and heroin. Now, I've never actually been proud of those moments, and don't get me wrong, I wasn't somebody that was a down and out, somebody living rough on the street. I had a job, I had a home, I had a partner, but I was living a lie. Socially, I was using these highly addictive drugs. I was trying to hide it from my family and stuff. And then through just a really bad incident, I actually... was at a club, I was really drunk, we'd taken some drugs, and I actually drove a car home, and I didn't know what I was doing, and thankfully I never actually crashed, but you know, I damaged the car, and in the morning I knew from that moment on that I'd completely lost control. My life wasn't mine anymore, that the drugs had just completely taken over. And I knew from that moment on that I had to make a difference. It was either, you know, change my life, or, you know, it was prison or death or something like that. I mean, that was really my first wake-up call. And I really, from that moment on, I went on this journey to discover the secret to beating addiction. I've been trying for years and years and years, half-heartedly, but I was at a point now, there was a sort of no return. Everything I sort of learned, I used, you know, there was all good tools, but the actual key to my success of ending my addictions was simply, instead of looking on the outside world, I just turned around and I just looked at myself. I'd listened to these thoughts that I had coming through, and I said, I want change. You know, whoever you are inside me, whatever... you know, whatever reason you're sending me these thoughts and feelings and emotions to do what I'm doing, it's going to stop, and I want change. And from that moment on, as I said to you earlier, I opened up dialogue, and that was the beginning of my change. But of course, it is a much longer story, but you know, I did, through those methods, I stopped the heroin, I stopped the crack, I stopped doing the cocaine, I stopped the alcohol. I stopped the cigarettes, and I got myself free. But then, unfortunately, just over two years ago now, I went out to, we had like a club reunion. Me and my brother and some friends, we went out to a club. It was like a 25-year reunion, a bit like a school reunion. But unfortunately, my twin brother, who had been through something very similar to me, but his biggest problems were alcohol and cocaine, and he'd been in hospital, he'd been to a rehab, but he wasn't doing too bad. He'd been out for a while, giving him a job and stuff. But unfortunately, on this night, this reunion that we went to, he made a decision to take some ecstasy tablets. And unfortunately, because of all the years of abuse of his body just he couldn't cope with the tablets he took, and unfortunately his body shut down and his organs shut down, and unfortunately died on that evening.
Sorry to hear that. And thank you for sharing that here live.
That's all right. I mean, it was so painful. I have to say this. It was, I've never felt so much pain and suffering in my whole life. Even, at the darkest time with my addiction, it was nothing compared to this. And I just, it took me a while, but I knew what I needed to do, that I wasn't going to stand by anymore and allow this to happen. Now, I'd found an answer to the problem many years ago. But of course, it was almost for a selfish reason to get myself out. But
yeah.
but to have to go through, the death of your twin brother, then I knew what I'd had to do, and that's why I put pen to paper. I started to write my book. I opened up a help and support group, and ever since then I've just been helping people escape from addictions. And and this is not even my full-time job. I run a car body repair company in the daytime, and I just, all my spare time is just taken up now by just doing what I possibly can to help people that are suffering with all kinds of addictions. And it's not just addictions, it's like the mental health of people. So it's anxiety, stress, depression, panic attacks, because I've suffered them all, and really, really bad as well. And there is an answer to it, and I talk a lot about, we're talking about addictions, but, a lot of what I've learned, especially over the last few years, has come from business, come from inspirational people like Tony Robbins and people like that. I've sat in seminars with 10,000 people listening to Tony Robbins talking about the subconscious mind. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, what he's teaching is addiction. It's the subconscious mind. He talks about, improving your life, breaking out of your comfort zones and stuff, self-talk and all of that. And I was in awe, just saying, I just wanted to grab him and say, this is exactly what I went through when I went through all my addictions. And you sit down, Tony, because I'm going to teach these 10,000 people about addiction. And I really just, that's the thought process that went through my mind. And it's on my list, to be honest, and I will achieve it, because I just believe somebody needs to be up on stage. And it's not just the people that are suffering with addicts. Everybody needs to understand this subconscious mind, understand there's something else going on in this life, okay, and we all need to know about it, because through self-talk you can improve your life, you can improve your emotion, and it's not even that, you can improve the lives of people around you as well. And and I'm so dedicated now to doing this. And I know it's mostly around the addiction side, but when people come through my workshops and that, I say to them, you need to carry on and go more and understand this even more. Go and listen to some inspirational people. Go and listen to some of the business leaders that are teaching, how to be successful, because you are going to learn more and more and more. And there needs to be more of these inspirational people up on stage sharing this stuff. And through your help,
people.
Elliot, I'm going to be there.
Definitely, without a doubt. I think it's all to do with you, your hard work and your story. I think that's what's going to get you there. And your ability just to go and do what needs to be done. But let me just put my skeptic hat on for a second, if I may. And just, what is it that you do? That, because it's all about long-term sustainability, right? Beating addiction is all about long-term, because as we've discussed, we can deal with the physical withdrawal, well, most people can. Most people can deal with that side of things. But yet, it's a worrying statistic, like 95% of people go back, I believe. You can correct me on that. Fall off the wagon or whatever it might be. So what is the system, or what's the steps that you pioneered that changes that? Because addiction treatment's been around for years. I know here in the UK of AA, there's various, obviously, private clinics. So what have you done what have you innovated that's different from what's out there?
It's a really, really good question. Now, I just want to say that, all of those help and support groups that are out there, that's like AA, CA, there's government programs, there's some really, really good stuff going on. And I take my hat off to anybody that's helping anybody around addiction. I think it's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. The only thing that's not happening at the moment, okay, and you can call this the secret to addiction, beating addiction, whatever you want to call it, okay, it's the self-talk, okay? What these, whether it's a rehab, whether it's one of these other organizations, what they're not doing is a little piece of the puzzle, okay? They're not retraining the mind, okay? And the only person that can retrain the mind is the addict themselves, okay? If somebody can sit and listen to me all day long, okay, it's not ever going to make a difference until that person makes the decision to stop and starts to train their mind that they want something different, okay? But this can only be done through the understanding that your mind and your body are working independently of who you are. That's, that's you consciously, okay? Because you consciously it's like you talking to me, me talking to you, it's you being aware of all your surroundings, you making all your own decisions, okay, and it's you experiencing life. That is who you are, but that is who you are consciously. Now, inside of you is mind. It's mind, which is about 1,000 times more powerful than us, because it literally controls about 100 billion blood cells that move around the body, carrying oxygen and nutrients, making sure that we stay alive, okay? This subconscious mind is instructing all of those, okay? But this is the point I'm trying to make. And if you want proof of this, and people do want proof, don't they? But if you just think about it for a moment, when you're hungry for food, what does your body do? It sends you a hunger feeling, doesn't it? It gives you an empty and secure feeling, and it sends you consciously a message saying that you need to get us some food. Okay, so that's the body sending you messages, and of course your mind is always sending you messages. It's reminding you when you've got to do something. It's sending you thoughts or feelings when you're trying to remember something. I mean, if I ask you this, if I ask your views, what's your home telephone number? Okay, you have to go to your subconscious mind and think, well, what's my home telephone number? And then your mind will tell you, and you say, right, it's 02083. You're really off because everything's being stored in that mind of yours. But again, the mind is working independently. But that's the key, is understanding that you are separate to your mind and body, okay? It's your mind and body that are sending you the messages about addiction, okay? So if you want to change that, okay, you consciously have to open up the dialogue with the subconscious mind. And you have to teach the subconscious mind that you want something different. And whilst your body goes through a withdrawal stage, because you can't avoid that, if you put something addictive, a bit like what you said, you went through a month of anger and frustration and being moody. Well, I mean, people that come through my system don't feel that. And the reason why they don't feel that is because they're training the mind. When you went through your withdrawal period, okay, you use what we call willpower. So you just willed yourself to say, I'm just not going to have these foods, I'm just not going to have these foods. But of course, your brain is telling you are going to have these foods, and we're going to send you thoughts, feelings, and emotions that are going to make you feel uncomfortable until you do get those foods. Okay, but you basically, what you've done is just willed yourself long enough to, that your mind says, all right, Elliot, we're not gonna bother anymore because you.
I defeated my mind.
Yeah, right. You defeated your mind. You created enough fear inside yourself that your mind says, all right, we're just not going to be having those foods anymore. But I don't want people to suffer like that. I want people to know what the answer is, just through some simplistic process. that you can just train your mind whilst you're going through the withdrawal period. You can relieve those hunger feelings, you can relieve the stress, the anxiety, okay? And within, you know, within a couple of weeks, your body's got rid of the poison, the mind's reprogrammed, and you can literally just get on with your life.
So are you saying that within a couple of weeks, people can beat addiction through your program? Is that what you're saying?
100%. And 100%. And this isn't just for some people. We've all got this mind. I know we've all got our different stories. We've got our different backgrounds. We've got our different problems. Okay, but this is all to do with the outside world. Okay, the stuff I deal with is on the inside world. And the mechanics that are running our life are the same for every single one of us. And this is how, you know, I've got a support group just around the corner from me right now. We've got 20 people in the room. They're sitting there with, we've got heroin addicts, crack addicts. We've got smokers. We've got drinkers. We've got people suffering with depression, anxiety, stress. This is how I can teach a whole room with all their different addictions, and we all come to the same conclusion at the end of it, that the problem resides with our subconscious mind. And if we go to our subconscious mind, we can change these addictions. We can change our emotions and our feelings. And through these processes, okay, there comes a withdrawal period. 7 to 10 days this withdrawal period in, within a couple of weeks, you can literally walk away from some of the worst addictions known to mankind. And I prove it every single week in my workshops. And, you know, if you can get hold of my book, we can talk about it later. You know, I promise you this book has got the answer to this addiction problem.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely go into your book, because in your book you talk about, is it a 7-step formula? Is that right? You talk about your 7 steps?
Right. So there's two things, okay? I'm probably just going to mention my website just so that we know where we are. So I have got a website. It's called beatmyaddictions.com. Okay, on that website, beatmyaddictions.com, I have, and this is free to download, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can download this for free. Okay, I have a 7-day beat addiction plan. Now, you think, oh, I can beat addiction in 7 days. No, okay, what this 7-day beat addiction plan is to prepare your mind for change, okay, because making split decisions in life isn't strong enough to end our addictions. Okay, one thing that I've learned over all these years, okay, to make a change in your life, and especially something that is to do with our survival mechanisms, and you have to understand, when you take an addictive drug, it connects to your survival mechanisms. Just like you need food or water, your mind and body think that you need the drug to survive, and of course that isn't true. So what the 7-day addiction plan is, it prepares the mind. It gets the mind ready for you to make a decision to stop. Because once you make that decision to stop, then the withdrawal period starts, and the mind and the body will need it will need explanation. It will need calming down. It will need your support for the next 7 to 10 days whilst your body goes through this change. Okay, and that's what the 7-day addiction plan is all about. Prepare your mind. It will explain everything that's going to happen to you through the withdrawal period. I even explain what life will be like afterwards. So and that's free to download. That, you know, I know this book is for sale, but you know, all the information is on my website as well. So I want this, you know, I want this accessible for the whole world, and that's why I created that 7-day beat addiction plan.
So in the 7 days, are you happy to go through what each day covers?
Yeah, so it's you know, the first few days is the groundwork to addiction. So the groundwork to addiction is really just explaining about the subconscious mind. So, you know, you unless you understand what a problem is, there's no way of solving it. And as you've been listening, okay, the problem resides here in our subconscious mind. So the first day is just explaining about the subconscious mind, its role, you know, its origins. You know, I literally take you back to when we were cavemen and how simplistic our lives were. And at those times, we never had these addictive drugs, because all of you know, these addictive drugs are man-made, they've been created, and now we live in a society that's consumed with it. So I take you back a little bit, and then I explain more about the separation, so how we're separate to our mind and our body. Start to explain the mechanics of life, roughly on day two. Day three, I start to teach you how to start to make a case, because it's very, very important. Your story is what will make the difference. It's your story that has the emotion and the feeling around the reason why you want to make a change. Because if you don't have any problems with the addiction that you want to stop, then it's very, very difficult to explain to your mind the reason why. But the truth of the matter is, when you get to a point in life and you do want to make a change, well, then 100% you're going to have some sort of emotion or feeling around that it's not any good for you. You know, you've got to a stage where you just, you know, reality just kicks in and says, you know, this thing that you're doing isn't any good, okay? But this is where the emotions and feelings come in. And then after that, I teach how you present the case to your subconscious mind, how you start to open up dialogue, how you start to train the mind. And then, of course, one of the biggest days is, I think that's day five, is decision time. Because the hardest part of ending any kind of addiction, whether that's a physical addiction or it's a mental addiction, okay, because I know you were talking about, or we can be talking about gambling or sex or porn.
Right.
But, you know, we can easily be talking about social media these days. To be honest, I mean, anything in life can become addictive, and it can become harmful to us. I mean, I know people that play golf and ignore their families and their children and because they're so addicted to the game of golf. So it all comes down to how the, you know, what you've wired the brain to, because once the brain wires something to pleasure, then that forms the addiction, and then the addiction creates, you know, the pain and suffering that comes with it. So
you
day
need,
five go on.
Well,
I was
no,
just
no,
gonna say
finish
this. Yeah. So day five is decision time. Day six, I go right into exactly what's going to happen to you through the withdrawal period. I explain how your mind's going to react, your body's going to react. We talk a lot more about self-talk, how we train the mind. So it's an educational program that you're following. And then day seven, I teach you what life is like without being addicted. And it's an absolutely incredible feeling. It's the time when all of your emotions and feelings that you had before they were stolen from you. And this is what happens, because when you take addictive drugs, they steal your emotions and feelings. And, you know, for people that are running businesses out there and you know, you're consumed with coffee and tea or smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol, trust me, you know, the small buzz that you get from it, okay, it doesn't last, okay, and then you go back down again. But when you end one of these addictions, your natural emotions and feelings are returned to you. So that high that you were getting from those drugs that you were taking, okay, when you end it, you actually go right above that. Your emotions and feelings sit as a high, and that is where you stay. And when you actually experience that for the first time, because you probably wouldn't have experienced it since you was a young adult before you started these addiction cycles, okay, all of those emotions and feelings are returned to you, and you start living on a high. And when you're on a high, it means you're mentally and physically stronger to be able to deal with problems, to be able to improve your life. It's a very, it's such an incredible life-changing event that, and even just ending caffeine addiction, you will experience this. It's really, really incredible, but it's very difficult, you know, for someone to understand. Until somebody's been through it, until they've experienced that life-changing emotion and feeling that happens, okay, but trust me, it happens with every single person, every single time. Doesn't matter which addiction you get rid of, you will experience it. And that's the 7-day addiction plan, and that's what, you know, that's available for anybody to download free of charge whenever they want on my website. So
you want to just mention your website again?
So it's beatmyaddictions.com, beatmyaddictions.com.
And it sounds like an incredible process. But there's a couple of questions I want to ask you, because What's really interesting, you mentioned this before, is it, I know it's possible, but if someone's still enjoying their addiction, right, but knows it's wrong, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
Is the success rate the same versus someone that's hit massive pain like yourself or like my dad, where he got to the situation where he either commits suicide or he gives up, you know, or he gives up, you know, his addiction? Do you find, and I know this is a strange question, but do you find that people tend to succeed more when their pain hits than someone that just knows it's wrong?
It's a really good question. My answer to that is really, the people that I help are the people that want help. Okay.
Yeah.
I said to somebody the other day, I could be on the television holding up this book saying, look, I've got the answer to addiction. If you follow this plan, everybody's going to be free. Now, 90% of this population would probably just ignore that information because
yep.
they're still in that state of, I'm getting pleasure from this. It's all pleasure, no pain. Okay, so
right.
until somebody feels pain, okay, they're not going to change. Okay, and I know this is going to sound a bit strange, but I'm not an anti anything. You know, I'm happy for people to have refined sugar, to have caffeine, to have nicotine, to drink alcohol, even to do drugs. If that's what's going to make them happy, then I'm happy for them. I'm definitely not one of these people that says you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. You know, I'm just somebody, okay, who's here ready for when you hit pain. Okay, I can get rid of that pain. Okay, so I'm definitely not an anti everything. I want people to be happy. I've got, you know, some of my closest family around me are using addictive substances, but you know, that's their choice. Okay, so it's only until somebody hits pain that you're going to be able to touch them. And the unfortunate part of this is there's a lot of friends and family and people that really care that have got loved ones around them with people using dangerous drugs or their health is at risk, okay, but that person that they love is not willing to change. And I would be saying to everybody out there, if you want to help your loved ones, if you want to help the people that you most care about, then I would be saying to you download the 7-Day Addiction Plan, because if you get an understanding of what addiction is, then you can go on and help other people. So, you know, my methods are not just for, you know, people suffering with addiction. They're to educate everybody, okay, so that you can go on and help other people, because I just don't want people to suffer the way that I have. And I want everybody to be trained in this mindset that we've got things that are controlling us, controlling our thoughts, feelings and emotions. But if you can understand it, understand the problem, then you can make a change, or you can help somebody else overcome an addiction. And, you know, I think that's the greatest gift in the world, for you to be able to go on and help somebody else. So hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah, it did, because I think what you're saying, from what you were saying, is that actually people do tend to want to change when they hit the pain. Let me ask you a dilemma question, and that's the whole notion of, you know, it's all very well, you know, sitting back and people must be on their journey. Should you intervene if you know that's going to save, let's say, someone's life, or get them to stop, you know, taking drugs or deal with their addiction? And it could be Diet Coke. I know that's massively addicted as well. You know, should you, because I know you said, look, you're happy for people to go on their journey. And this is a bigger picture. I'm just asking you in this case, but it's that internal question of, should you step in and go, hey, what the hell do you think you're doing? You're destroying your life, knowing that you can help them or someone can help them, or do you let them go on that journey and when they're ready? And let's say when they're ready could be too late. Like when they're ready could be that they're already in hospital. And should you speak up and express yourself and intervene is my question. It's a tough question, I know.
It's a really, really tough question. Common sense, okay, common sense says that's what you should do. Common sense says you should help that person, help them understand, you know, say that you shouldn't be doing this, you should be getting help, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but the unfortunate part of this problem is, okay, addiction doesn't work by common sense. Okay, addiction works on emotions and feelings that are going on inside someone's body. Okay, and that's the want and the need for that drug, the hunger feelings that are going on. So society as a whole, we try to deal with the problem exactly how you just said, but of course it doesn't work. We've tried with, you know, smoking, with the lung cancer, the breast cancer, you know, everything that's bad with smoking. We've tried to create the fear that it will stop people from smoking, but it, you know, it really just doesn't work. The only way that you're going to get through to people is give them the understanding of what's happening inside their mind and their body, okay? And, you know, as I say, you're going to have loved ones and that around you. The only thing that you can do is keep speaking about these processes, keep speaking about how other people are escaping, you know, without too much anger or too much fear or pain or anything like that, that people are escaping and being happy about it, okay? And it's the stories like that that will change other people's lives. It's when something resonates with somebody that's suffering with an addiction, when somebody relates to them, okay, that's when somebody starts to listen. But if you go at somebody and say, you should really stop this, it's not doing you any good, this is not what their mind's prepared to listen to, and walls go up, and when the walls go up, it's very, very difficult to get through. So it needs to be handled in a very sensible way, okay? And as I say, you know, to anyone that's suffering out there, or who knows someone that's suffering, please, please, please go onto my website, beatmyaddictions.com. You will start to understand this problem. But when you start to understand it, that's when you can go and help a loved one, because you're coming at it from a different angle. You're giving a solution to the problem instead of just saying to that person, you need to stop, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. All it does is drive people away, and it drives them deeper and deeper into their addiction, okay?
So we as a society,
we need to teach everybody that there is a solution to this problem. There is something going on in inside ourselves, and the more we understand it, the more we open up this debate. You know, I want people to question some of this stuff. I want people to open up this debate, and we need to find out exactly what's going on, and then we make the change. So
has there been a little bit of a Hollywood element to this whole, you know, you intervene, you kick their ass, and then they're going to stop? So that's just not real.
It's not good, and it doesn't work.
Because they're not changing because they want to change.
Yeah, the thing is, you might change that person for a little while, but it's a bit like when you go into a rehabilitation center for a year or however long. Okay, they're kept in a safe place, safe environment, but when that person gets released, when they're out in the big wide world again, the addictive mind comes back, okay, and the person starts to revert back to their old habits, their old ways, okay, so it might work in the beginning, but you know, the addicted mind is not stupid. The addicted mind says, all right, you've won this battle, but when I get out, I will return to who I was, and that's why people revert back to addiction and stuff like that. And so, you know, I'm here to teach people the long term, because once you've rewired your brain, it's always rewired. Okay, and the only thing that you'll ever have come back is an old memory, which you can just laugh off, because you have like 50 to 80,000 thoughts a day, and that's all it would be. But unless you've rewired the brain, the subconscious mind will be behind those addictive thoughts, and it's a very, very powerful emotional feeling, which can send someone back very, very quickly. But, you know, I'm not in that business. I'm in the business to get people out and that they stay out for life. And when they experience these emotions and feelings of joy and happiness from being free, that's what will always stop them from going back. And that's what I teach.
Brilliant. And We've got just about 5 minutes left of this. So how really, I guess, a one-on-one question. How does someone know that they have an addiction? Let's talk about the sort of lighter substances, because I think when it's cocaine or it's drugs or, you know, it's that I need to spark up. But how do we know we're addicted to sugar or to caffeine? Or, you know, am I being very naive and is it exactly the same?
No,
so how does one know that?
It's a really, really easy question to answer. Probably the easiest one you've given me, Elliot. So it's really, really easy. Just try and stop. Whatever it is you're doing, just try and stop. Stop for, I don't know, a period of a day, a week, a month, a year. That's when you're going to know that you are addicted. Now I've mentioned a lot of different addictive substances. We've mentioned refined sugar, nicotine, caffeine, alcohol, drugs, cocaine, you know, whatever it is, even stuff like gambling, sex, porn, work, social media, whatever it is, all you need to do is say, right, I'm going to stop. Make that decision to stop and then see what happens, because very, very quickly, you're going to see this separation between yourself and your mind and your body, because all of a sudden, your mind and your body are going to start to send anxiety, stress, fear. Your body, your mind's going to create fear. It's going to send you thoughts. It's going to tell you you've made a really bad mistake. To be honest, it's just as an example of somebody just trying to stop smoking. You know, they'll make that decision, you know, within an hour. Okay, the mind will already have started to create self-doubt, tell you that you were doing the wrong thing. By the end of the day, you would have gone through so much anxiety, stress, and fear that you'll be picking up a cigarette the time you go home. And something very, very similar is going on with all of the addictive drugs. So the simple answer is that just if you don't think you are addicted, just try and stop, okay? And you will see the reaction with your mind and your body.
Okay, that's interesting. So anyone listening out there, if you're not sure, just stop.
Stop.
Just stop and see how your body reacts to
that's
just stopping. And then you'll know if you have an addiction. And that includes sugar, caffeine, crisps,
yep.
Chocolate, like you said, porn, anything, social media, Facebook. I mean, how long before we have a Facebook Anonymous, do you think? If you can have such a thing. Because I really think they probably already exist, like social media addiction, especially in the younger generation, you know, with, you know, teenagers now go to sleep with phones in their hands so they don't miss anything. So already I think there's a very embedded addictive personality coming out of this because of social media. While it's such a great thing on one aspect, I do think it's probably the next level of addiction to be introduced into our addictive world. So I think, would you say that can be true, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, let's not be too hard on everybody, okay? I'm just saying, you know, life is about enjoyment, okay? If you're getting enjoyment from some of the things that we mentioned, you know, and no pain, then, you know, just keep doing it, okay? But just know that if something becomes a problem, if social media becomes a problem, or, you know, if one of those topics we talked about tonight become a problem, then please come and find us, okay? There is a solution to this problem. I'm not here to take away everyone's pleasures. You know, I used to love, you know, eating cake, sweets, chocolate, crisps. I just choose not to now. I just choose not to have that addictive side. I used to love tea and coffee. I used to love drinking alcohol. You know, unfortunately, I did love used to taking drugs. But of course, you know, there was a lot of bad that came with it. That's why I had to make my decisions to stop. You know, let's just take a lighter note of it all. Just understand, yes, these are addictive substances, but if you're not getting any pain or suffering, then, you know, don't, you know, worry too much about it. But if something does start to become a problem, or you start to think, maybe I do need to stop this, then please come and find us. Come to my website, beatmyaddictions.com. I promise you all the answers are there. You can even email me if you want to. I do take stories. And I always answer to all of my emails. So please come connect with us. We you know, we are here to help. And if you can I mention my book?
We've got 15 seconds. So all you've got to say is go to BeMyAddictions.com, and the book's on there. Chris is on there. It's an amazing system. Chris, thank you for coming. Guys,
thank you
for listening. Have a lovely rest of the day, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care. Bye-bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today.